B-Pod Studios.
Are you ready for this? This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
Chase Winovich. So, final hour, Felger and Mass, Big Jim sliding over from Mass, who's on vacation. Adam Jones in the update studio. The Patriots traded Chase Winovich today for Mack Wilson, who's a former Alabama linebacker in Cleveland, also in his third year. Both Chase Winovich and Wilson were drafted in 2019. Winovich in the third, Wilson in the fifth. Like Winovich here in New England, in Cleveland, Wilson fell out of favor. Starting as a rookie, and then sort of lost playing time as he went along there.
I believe Bedard termed the trade "your trash for their trash."
kind of
accurate.
Trash for trash. So I have no real faith or optimism that this Mack Wilson's going to work out. But what I want to focus on is the failed draft pick of Chase Winovich. And what I think sets it apart with Chase Winovich is it's not like he can't play. Where you whiff on a draft pick because the guy can't play, that happens to everyone, and it's happened here a lot.
Yeah.
Juwan Williams can't play.
N'Keal Harry
can't play.
Duke Dawson
can't play.
Cyrus Jones
can't play. There's a lot of these guys. They've had a lot of these misses where the guy just can't play. Chase Winovich was just a bad system fit from the start. And it leads me to believe, what did they ever think in the first place that would have him work here? And we play that cut off the top because the kid was kind of a flake.
Sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
With a big mouth who couldn't help himself. And I don't think he's a bad guy. I mean, good guy. And
just kind of a space shot.
A space shot who couldn't help himself and talk too much.
It's just like eating an elephant. I'd say one bite at a time.
Okay, so he's just kind of a clownish figure.
Which was clear from the second he was drafted. Like, the night he was drafted, there were all kinds of, like, weirdo stories about it. So, like, if we knew that in the media, like, Bill at least should be able to do legwork on this and figure that out. Because that was clear from the second he was drafted, he was an outsized personality.
Not a Belichick kind of guy, especially because he's not that good. Like, if you're really good, Bill's not completely stupid. He will make allowances for you. Rob Gronkowski had an outsized personality and not your quote-unquote perfect Patriot kind of personality.
And even he held it in check. But
Bill
allowed it.
He was so good that they worked with him on it.
Yeah.
And it was a balance, and it took work, but they made room for Rob Gronkowski because he was so good. And I've seen this before. They made room for, you know, Rodney Harrison, who liked to talk. And they, you know, if you're that good, Bill's going to work around that.
They brought Antonio Brown, and they didn't want to cut him.
They brought in Ocho Cinco.
Right.
They have no tolerance for the guy with a big mouth who can't play. Like, none. Or if you make more noise with your mouth than you do on the field, then you have no shot. And that was Chase Winovich. And it's like, that didn't just jump up on them. Like, that's what he came out of Michigan as his outsized personality, as you say. And on the field, he didn't set the edge. He didn't defend the run. So he just became a sort of like one-trick pony who tried to beat tackles around the edge. And once every 10 games, he would.
So your question is the assessment, and rightfully so.
So the assessment is, let me just sum it up. Sorry, I'm taking too long. The assessment is, you're scouting this player, and let's see. He doesn't defend the run. He doesn't set the edge. He's got a big mouth. On what planet is that a Patriot player? And you drafted him?
No, he's not. And that's just from the football standpoint, a one-dimensional pass rusher coming out of college. And what did he rack up? I think 5 sacks those first couple of seasons. So he showed the ability. There's
each,
some speed
each
there.
Year. I think it was 11 his first 2 years, which to Felger's point means it's not that he can't play. He's just, he is a poor system fit.
System fit. So what was it? And I guess I didn't know that there was a coach connection at Michigan for Belichick at that time. So because it doesn't make any sense, but now that we know that, and what was the name that was there?
He mentioned Jed Fish. Don Brown coached locally here for a long time, and I wonder if there was some overlap there, because Don Brown's the guy who coached the Michigan defense, and they have a ton of Michigan defensive players.
So that's all I need to hear. They watched a little bit of tape on him. He called up one of his Bobo buddies again and was like, well, what do you think of the kid? Oh, good fit. Okay, good enough for me. We'll draft him.
So that's the two things. It's like, Dude, that guy's not a Patriot. He's not a Patriot. He's not a Patriot off the field. He's not a Patriot on the field. Why'd you draft him? Like, that's the kind of guy you hate. Bill hates the player that doesn't take on blockers, that just tries to run around the edge, who gives up the edge in the running game, who gives up running lanes to a quarterback. Like, he hates that kind of defensive end. Hates him. Never mind that kind of defensive end who runs his mouth or, like, has an outsized personality.
Sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
This is the exact,
dude,
that's the exact guy Bill can't stand.
Just like eating an elephant, I'd say one bite at a time.
And they go draft that guy in the third round? Like, so where was the decision-making there? And then you do look, what is this obsession with Michigan defensive players? I mean, they've had a good defense there for years. But I don't know, on the NFL level, so last year, Cam McGrone in the fifth. The year before, Josh Uche in the second. Also, Michael Onwenu on the offensive line in the sixth. And then Winovich there in the third in 2019. Why are you all horned up for Michigan defensive players again? And it has to be some sort of connection with some sort of coach that he's got a rapport with. And this is the thing that he's fallen into as well. Instead of getting boots on the ground and digging out these guys, he's just relying on references from buddies.
Yeah, instead of getting boots on the ground, he's boobs out. And that's what he could do. He doesn't need to do any research. He can go to Barbados. Ah, Don Brown says this is what this player is good, so it's good enough for me. Or whoever it is, Harbaugh or whoever.
So to me, not that I'm going to miss Chase Winovich, he was hardly a factor on the team this year. Could hardly get on the field by the end of it. So, of course, fine. And you got something in return that who the hell knows, maybe. So, like, the trade itself, like, fine. Let's see. You're not going to lose anything anyway because I think Winovich was going to get cut. So, fine. Give it a crack. I'm not really assessing the trade. It's what it represents. It's what he represents in terms of their decision making.
Oh, a further indictment on these poor drafts in recent years.
Oh, my God.
Specifically 2019.
That was a bad one.
Wretched.
I mean,
Harris and the punter. That's who you hit on. That's it.
Do it again?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, you had some decent. I mean, this is one of these drafts where, you know, Patriots fans get all horned up.
Oh, I loved this draft.
Well, four picks in the top 100. Four picks in the top 100. Oh, just wait. Four picks in the top 100.
Wide receiver in the first round. That was nice.
N'Keal Harry, Juwan Williams, Chase Williams, Damian Harris, Yodney Cajuste. And I like Damian Harris. Fine. Solid. No problem. But again, I don't count running backs. I really don't. He's going to last one more year, two at the max, and then you'll draft another guy in the third round. He'll be just fine, too. It's like, I just, unlike Jones, because he's, you know, a little college football fan. He thinks running backs matter, and he likes the running back picks. They are just superfluous, disposable razors. Doesn't even count. But outside of the running back, Harry, Juwan Williams, Chase Winovich, Yodney Cajuste. And you had real draft capital that year.
Yeah.
You had picks.
Don't forget about Stidham.
So Stidham came in the fourth. You had two more in the fourth. Froholt and Stidham. So we've done this a million times over. This is why they are where they are. It's one of the reasons why they are where they are.
Pick 133 is Jarrett Stidham. Pick 149, Hunter Renfrow. Who would you rather have?
And then you add that to, you know, 2018, Wynn, Michelle, Dawson, Juwan Bentley, Christian Sam, Braxton Berrios, Denny Etling, Keon Crossan, Ryan Izzo. And what's odd about that list is that two of those guys actually turned out to be players. And that's Braxton Berrios,
yep,
who you bailed on too early and has turned into a fine little slot guy in New York. And this Keon Crossan, the cornerback, didn't he just get paid by somebody?
I don't know about that, but Sony won another Super Bowl, so I assume that's who you were talking about.
Listen, you're gonna die.
Yeah, you're going to have to do that on your own time. The running, do that right next to your college football talk. I thought Keon Crossan landed.
Yes, signing with the Dolphins, 3-year, $10.5 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Keon Crossan's actually a player in the league. He's actually a player in the league. I'm not telling you that's like Deion Sanders or anything. But I think I'd take him over Juwan Williams.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no argument there.
So that was 2018. 2019, I just gave you. And then 2020, Kyle Duggar, who I like. You know, that's,
good
I think,
player.
Good player. Yeah. Go ahead, Jones.
I don't think he's very good against the pass. I think he's good coming forward and he makes some big hits, but I don't think he's a pass game player, which to me makes him a little overrated. He doesn't suck, but he's a little overrated.
Which doesn't mean suck, but fine. At least you have a starting player and an actual contributor on your defense.
Yeah. No. By their drafting history, that's like an absolute grand slam. Yeah.
Ronnie Lott.
Yeah.
By their drafting standards. But after that, who I guess is debatable, Josh Uche, Anthony Jennings, Devin Asiasi, Dalton Keene.
Stinks.
The freaking Posse Comitatus kicker. Michael Owenu, who actually is fine. Justin Herron and Cass Malula, the linebacker. Is he still here?
I think he's cut again.
I don't even know. It's like, that's,
they just summed up their linebacking core specifically, right?
Like, who are these guys? I don't even, are they here? I don't know who they are. I don't know. I can't help you with the Tavai kid.
I was going to say, at least they have the guy from Detroit that Patricia really likes.
Jelani Tavai.
I can't help you there.
So can I add something? I know you want to go to the phone.
So they drafted a kicker in the fifth round 2 years ago. They had a kicker last year as a rookie free agent. And what did they do today? They re-signed 40-year-old Nick Folk for 2 years, $5 million. I made up his age. How old is he?
I mean, about that.
He's
old. Late 30s.
30-something-year-old Nick Folk.
He's been their MVP their last couple
of
years.
He's been good, but it's like, why was the kicker in the fifth round again? Go ahead, Jones.
Oh, well.
You were going to say something?
No, well, I was just going to say, I was going to add something. I didn't realize you were still ranting and raving about these picks, which is fine. I was going to add some, is it speculation or is this finger wagging? I had a tweet out here that I don't know if it's signaling the Patriots doing something or just finger wagging us with our baloney on the radio.
Tease it. Is there something coming down the pike? Or are we being needlessly blood? You'll hear all these details right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
I don't want to know what this means.
Felger and Mass.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, what? I don't know what that is.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, DJ, it's very interesting to me. The Patriots had multiple conversations with J.C. Jackson once during the season, and that offer was basically a non-starter. And then again, right around the combine, and, you know, there's some talk about the offer being as upwards of $17 million a year. But when I talked to a source last night, I said, were the Patriots ever really close to what the Chargers offered and ever close to bringing J.C. back? And I was told, not really. So the Patriots now look at a situation where, well, they don't have a number one corner. Jalen Mills was their opposite corner last year. They had to play more zone because of it. And Mills was solid for them last season. But again, they tended to be a in-your-face physical man-to-man football team. And when you look at the names out there, there aren't too many of them. In fact, you start looking at it and you say there's a lot of cast-offs and some older guys. Guys like Joe Hayden, Jackrabbit Jenkins, who just got released a short time ago, who's 34. You know, Joe Hayden is 32 going on 33. Bradley Roby's another guy that you look at. Steven Nelson. So they're going to have to really figure out a way to piece this together. I guess the one thing I would say about Bill Belichick is, look, if they have personnel that says they should play more zone, they'll play more zone. If they have personnel that says we can get in your face to play man-to-man, we'll play man-to-man. I think it's also interesting right now that the Patriots have done a lot of things to bring back their own guys. And a lot of their old guys are coming back. Matthew Slater, Devin McCourty, on and on that list goes. Nick Folk. Those have been their big signings after spending a zillion dollars thereabouts in free agency a year ago.
Mike Giardi, NFL Network, trying to explain away the Patriots' do-nothing offseason so far. Or is it do-nothing? Jones, what do you have?
Well, real quick, I want to credit David for sending this. You know who recommended Don Brown for the job at Michigan? Reportedly?
Let me guess.
Please.
That would be one William Belichick. He was coaching the Boston College defense, which I know you love to watch, Felger. He was coaching the Boston College defense, and I guess he recommended Don Brown to John Harbaugh. In 2018, and then the following year, Bills drafting, Winovich off the defense, and then Uche off the defense, and then McGrone off the defense.
Well, there you go. There's the connection. Another Bobo, another buddy.
It's so bad. It's like one thing after the next. So all one little inside game. Well, Jones was being sarcastic, but his list of Bills' priority power rankings this offseason: 1, his children; 2, his friends' children; 3, his children's friends; 4, his friends' players; 5, old familiar breaking down good soldiers.
I think we decided we got to add Navy in there somewhere, too. You got to add that.
6.
Yep.
Navy considerations. Mm-hmm. And then way down at 100, actual good players. But it's like, I did sort of start to wonder over the last couple of years, what's with all this Michigan thing here? There's no Bill Bobo on the staff. Harbaugh is not a Belichick guy. You know, Bill and
although he recommended his brother for a job in Baltimore, didn't he? Way back when,
didn't he recommend?
Why am I blanking on the other Harbaugh? Not John.
Whatever the Harbaugh in Baltimore.
Thank you.
John, not Jim.
Yes,
the Harbaugh in Baltimore. He recommended a million years ago, but you wouldn't say that the Harbaughs are in Belichick's tree.
No.
Okay, so that we just wasted a minute on that. It's not a Saban guy. So I was wondering, why is he getting all these Harbaugh guys? Why about all these Michigan guys? I never bothered or took the time to look at the staff. I started to today, by the way, because I was like, why the F?
Because it doesn't make sense.
Well, why have all these Michigan guys? And so I started to look at the staff, and then I saw they have a assistant coach by the last name of Newsom. Big former player. I'm like, oh, Ozzie's kid. Then I looked it up. It wasn't Ozzie's kid. It's just a guy named Newsom who played, but it wasn't Ozzie Newsom's kid. And then I started looking. I'm like, I can't see it. What? There has to be some effing reason here. And that's it. Don Brown's no longer there. He's at UMass, right?
Is he back at UMass? I know he was at Michigan. I don't know where he is currently, but yes.
I don't think he's currently on the staff because I didn't see that today when I was looking. But either way, there it is. There you have it. He recommended this Don Brown to Michigan. Don Brown goes to Michigan, and so Bill starts taking his players as what? Some sort of affirmation that I gave you a good coach because I'm now taking his players? Or it's just his buddy? It's like he's close with him? And so Brown gave him all these scouting reports on all these players who suck, and now you've drafted them?
Yeah, shame on us. We should have been on this. Because, again, you can make the connections with Alabama, with Saban, Ferentz with Iowa, obviously with Rutgers, you know.
Urban Meyer and those guys, the Florida guys.
Yeah, you know which guys are all mobbed up with Bill. The Michigan one didn't really ever make any sense, but here you go.
Here it is.
It's another buddy.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing that has impacted your drafting, that impacts your coaching staff, that impacts your front office, that impacts the building, the football side of the building. Is this nepotism and friends of friends and this whole thing. And if it doesn't work out, if they don't turn it around and it peters out, it's going to be such an easy thing to look back and say, you know, and I don't know if everyone calls the Patriots out for this stuff. We do all the time. I don't know if that exists everywhere else. But if you haven't been listening here and you're kind of new to this, if it all falls apart, it's going to be an easy thing to look back at and go, well, no wonder it fell apart. It just started becoming a
clubhouse.
A buddy's club, exactly. Became Bill's clubhouse. As opposed to going out and finding the best guys or surrounding himself with good talent in the front office or in the coaching staff. And why did you draft all these players? And it becomes, you know, players that played for Bill's friends in the coaching ranks. It's like, wow.
And Jones, what was the finger wagging thing you were referring to?
So is this speculation or is this just finger wagging?
I thought that was it. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. This is from Curran. Between the Van Noy release and now the Mason trade, the Patriots have moved a couple of staple players to save cap room. It logically follows they're girding to do some big things or some significant things. So before you light yourself on fire, ...FYI. So do you think that's finger wagging or is that informed?
It's both. It's both. And just like Bedard was finger wagging the people in his column the other day.
Talk radio baloney.
Yeah. Sports talk radio baloney. The finger wagging comes from time to time. It's part of the territory, Jones. But I also think, look, they may do something. And when they do something, I'll sing a different tune. But this is...
We got the show to do today.
This is where they're at today.
They're getting ripped today.
And I'm not optimistic. I mean, Allen Robinson is the top player on the market, the top receiver on the market. He's going to be courted by five or six different teams. You're going to be the one that comes in with the most guaranteed money? I mean...
I doubt it.
If you do and you are, I'll sing your praises. But I'm not optimistic about that. All right, back to your phones on this, and we did some Red Sox as well. You can weigh in on that. But back to you, Carlos in Nashville. Go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, I'm wondering, where is Robert Kraft in all of this? Like, last year that he got interviewed and he said, you know, the way to rebuild a team is not through free agency. But he still spent the money. And like you guys said, why wouldn't you build on spending more money this year? You can maneuver the money around. I don't want to hear that there's no money. You can do it. And then on top of that, you guys said that Bill Belichick seems like he's comfortable and he's at 70 years old. Well, why wouldn't Robert Kraft look at that? He should know what's going on with his organization and say, you know what, this guy isn't putting in the full effort how he always did. It's time to move on. If you're not going to put the full effort into this team, then we need to find somebody that's willing to do that.
You know,
that's my opinion.
Right, okay, I hear you. But when you say, where's Robert Kraft and all this, like he's been caught unaware? Like, you know, Bill doesn't act totally unilaterally. They know what he's doing. And so there's a sign off there at some level. Or it's like this. It's like, okay, Bill, I mean, that's your call. But if it doesn't work out, we hold you accountable for it. Like, that's what it is. So, I mean, would you want Kraft to step in and say, hire a real offensive coordinator? I mean, he could. He could.
No, but for right now, I think he's playing it right, Robert, in that, in ownership, and saying, look, they just spent all that money last year. You whiffed on a lot of those players. So we're gonna step away and let you deal with it. Let him hang out to dry a little bit. Figure it out.
Mike and Hingham, what do you got on the Pats?
Hey guys, perfect comp for Winovich, someone who's declining performance, talking too much off the field. Kind of sounds a lot like a guy who's no longer here, who was too busy with social media watching his performance decline on the field. Where's Kyle Van Noy right now? Thanks, guys.
Okay, you know, I think they liked Kyle Van Noy from an off-field standpoint. I don't think that's what got him. I think what got him is that his contract was too high versus his production, which is, you know, which is also another way to get out of here, unless you're Devin McCourty, who somehow keeps sticking around.
Or Slater.
Van Noy, he was a second-round pick, I think, with Detroit. Like, yes. He was a bust that they turned into a good player. No, Winovich has talent. He's just not a fit for this team.
And he's cheap. Like, that tells you how much they hate his guts. He's cheap. Not a rookie contract. So it's like it wasn't even a money thing. But I do wonder, what did they see him in the first place? What did they see, but either on the field or off, that led a scout and then Bill to say, that's my kind of guy? Because I can't think of a single box that he checks for Bill Belichick. Not how he plays on the field or how he conducts himself off of it. Not that he's a bad guy. He's actually a fine guy. But it's like Bill doesn't want the outsized personality, especially if you're a marginal player.
And did he come off as highly coachable? Again, that clip we've played a few times, like, I don't really know what the game plan is.
Well, that was his, you know, it's when he's not playing.
Yeah, that was after he got benched.
So go ahead.
Sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
What am I doing here?
Just like eating an elephant, I'd say one bite at a time.
It's like, you know, why aren't you playing? I played four snaps last week. You know, what are your thoughts on that? I don't know.
Just like eating an elephant, I'd say one bite at a time.
I don't know what these guys are doing. I don't know why. You know,
sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
If you play the whole cut, play the whole 39-second cut. I'll cut it off in the middle of it. But he goes on to, you know, talk about a guy that just doesn't get it, never got it.
To be honest, sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan. But, you know, in terms of, you know, what goes into it and in the snap count and all that stuff. But that is what it is. And, you know, the past 3 weeks have been a challenge for sure. But, you know, it's easy making plays for me. It's just it's tougher to, you know, to kind of be idle while that goes on. But
you can stop right there. Yeah. It's like, the dude never got it.
Yeah, making plays, piece of cake.
He just never got it, which is okay, not a fit. What made you think he was a fit in the first place? It's all because your coaching buddy said he's a good kid or something? And so that's where we're at with this Patriots team, unless or until they do something different. That's where we're at. Here's Jones's update, the very latest. They have made some moves today, one of which I actually didn't mind. And we'll come back and talk about that as well with your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mazz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Meanwhile, James White, the Patriots running back, spent his entire career there, hero of Super Bowl 51. He re-signs with the Patriots on a two-year deal worth $5 million coming off of a season-ending hip injury a year ago. They're keeping White in the fold.
James White is the move I don't mind. I don't love it, but I don't mind it. He's someone who will help Mac Jones.
Do you not love it because of the hip injury?
Yeah. Oh, I don't love it because of his age and his injury history.
Yeah, a hip is, I mean, I know we've made advances, but anytime, I think we all think of like Bo Jackson and it alters your career forever, you'll never be the same. And so, yeah, I don't love the injury, but I do like him. And this is maybe the stat that, you know, the reason why they do bring him back for Mark Daniels. He had 12 receptions in the first two games last year, and after he went on IR, no running back did that for the Patriots. Remember, like that big, there was that like.
No, running, what do you mean? Didn't Bolden?
Yeah,
have
Bolden must have.
Must have.
Maybe nobody did it over two games. Is that what he means?
Maybe.
Maybe that's what he meant. But either way. Because
I thought Bolden was good last year, like out of nowhere.
Yeah, but there was times that White even like, I don't know, making like 25, 30-yard receptions, I feel like. There was one that was that big rainbow throw down the right sideline. I forget what game it was, but it was early on. It's like, oh, okay. Like, then he was always able to do that. I know he's getting up there in age, but after this injury, it's a question mark. But it seems like low money, and it's a player that I think Mac Jones can use to help him. So, no, I think overall they should bring him back just to see. Hopefully he's okay.
Look, B-. I'll give that move a B-, and that's their top-ranking move for me this offseason. And I mean, like, everything. I have not liked any little drip of news I've not liked. I haven't liked any of the coaching moves. In fact, not liking is an understatement. They've frankly been repulsive, what they've done. No offensive coordinator, no quarterback's coach, no one on the staff who's ever called offensive plays for a second-year quarterback who needs good coaching. That is atrocious. So it's not that I just don't like the coaching thing, hate. All the little dribs and drabs of news of how they've traveled this offseason, I've hated. Let's not send the defensive coaches to the Indianapolis Combine where all the good prospects are. Let's send them to Boston College's spring practice to learn what again? And oh, I know why we're doing it. Because Stevie Belichick went to Rutgers with the BC coaches. That really happened. And then we had to read how it was being spun, how the Patriots are somehow smarter than everybody else because the combine's become a waste of time and it's more productive to get this, Jones. Go to Boston College's spring practice.
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to learn from a BC spring practice? I'm sure they can't even put on pads. What are they doing in a spring practice?
I don't know. At least Boston College has coordinators. Maybe Steve Belichick and Patricia and those guys are all going to look and see, you know, how to actually coordinate. They don't know how to do it.
And if they can't put on pads, forgive me, but what, it's a spring practice. What could they possibly be doing that you at the NFL level could learn from?
Sprints.
So even the reporting on that, the spin on that, that they put out there. I'm not blaming Mike Reese, but they obviously put that out. They gave it to him. It's like they're trying to spin that. Oh, F yourself. Like, why are you trying to sell that to me?
Now we find out the guy that does go to Indianapolis, who is ends up being Steve Belichick's daughter's godfather. So there's the connection there.
The guy interviewing the guys at the combine was a lacrosse bro who's friends with Steve. So there's a million little examples of this, of their schedule in the offseason and all of this, and then all the moves that they've made or not made. Do you have something, Jimmy?
Do you want a real answer on this Boston College thing?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you just want to keep mocking it?
Oh, I'd much rather mock it. So, but
okay,
go ahead.
I'll pipe down then.
No, go ahead. Give it to me.
So there's an offensive guard who's a projected pick in the mid-20s, Zion Johnson, from Boston College.
This year. So let me tell you something. He's not allowed to practice in the spring with the team then. He's already done. His eligibility's over.
And why would they send the defensive staff? Well, I guess the way they have defense and offense, maybe it makes sense for them, but why would they send the defensive staff for an offensive lineman?
No, I mean, nice try, Jimmy. I'm not dumping on you because I thought the same thing. Well, maybe the first thing I said, why are they at Boston College? Well, maybe there's a prospect. Maybe there's a guy that's coming out in the draft and he's doing a workout. And it was a spring practice. And if you've declared for the draft, you can't practice with your team anymore. Right. You're done. Your eligibility's over. So this guard is...
He was probably at the combine.
And they're good players at the combine anyway. But never mind. Even if they're not at the combine, they can't practice with the team. They're done. So no. Steve just went there because they didn't go to Indy and he was buddies with the Rutgers coaches.
No. I'm going to send my defensive staff to scout an offensive player because no one else is doing that.
He probably went to go get beers at the Ground Round after. Is that place still there in Cleveland Circle?
Oh, yeah. I don't think so.
I don't think the Ground
Round. I think it's condos now.
And back for like 20 years. Yeah. I know, but still. I was trying to make
some
kind of light of the situation. So every little bit of thing, every little drab of news I've heard about the team I've not liked. Just about every single one.
But the James White one, B-.
B-.
Just don't wait. Felger, big moves are happening. Just be patient. Just be patient because big moves, they're totally going to do something big, so just be patient.
B- is their best move so far. James White, who, let's face it, is probably going to get 2 weeks into training camp and realize his hip isn't right. Tuukka Rask, he'll be done in 2 weeks, and he's going to go home, and that's it. And that's been their best move. And you know that's what's going to happen with James White.
Oh, this is bad news for the Patriots.
What?
No compensatory picks for the Patriots this year in the draft. That's why they needed a fifth rounder, Shaq Mason.
And they trade Shaq Mason for a fifth, which I don't, if they use the money, I don't hate it. But
wait,
not,
if. If and when they do, then we'll give them credit. But they're not.
Cody in New Hampshire. Go ahead on Chase Winovich.
Hey, guys. First time caller. Love the show.
Welcome, Cody. What do you got for us today?
So we've been playing the clip all day of, Chase saying he doesn't know the game plan, which is funny. And I don't think Chase is, the best football mind out there. But do you think it is kind of a tell on maybe some of the players who aren't getting as many snaps are not prepared as much for the game? So when they actually get the chance to come in, they're not productive. And then we get rid of them and get nothing in return for them.
That's not it, Cody. What he was saying there is, let me translate. I don't know why I'm not out there. I don't know what goes into their game plans. I should be out there. When I'm out there, I make plays.
Easy
to make plays.
It's easy for me to make plays. It's hard for me to sit. But I don't know why I'm not out there. That's what he was trying to say.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm not out there. I should be out there. But I don't know what goes into their decision making.
So, again, if the Bobo that was at Michigan said he's coachable, he's really not.
He just wasn't a fit.
Yeah.
And you could have seen that from 10 million miles away. I mean, not that I did. I don't scout these college players. But you know what works here in New England? What made them think a guy that doesn't stop the run, doesn't set the edge, and doesn't keep his mouth shut? What made them think that was going to work on the edge of their defense? At what point did they think that would work? Andrew and Taunton. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How's it going? This whole pitch of, culture is just going right up my ass. What culture are you talking about? In the playoff game where, half the team quit in Buffalo? What is this culture? You don't get to operate like you're a Super Bowl contender. You don't have Tom Brady anymore. And, the fact that Bill's willing to he won't give J.C. Jackson your number one corner $40 million guaranteed, but he'll give Jonnu Smith $32 million guaranteed. The oversights by him are just so glaring. And why is he so behind on every single move? He used to be ahead on everything. Now he's behind on everything. It's so frustrating.
So that last thing I give him a break for, meaning they thought Jonnu Smith could play. They thought he could work. He was a premium free agent, and they went out immediately and paid for him and brought him in. And they missed. That I can accept. I can accept that. I mean, I'll criticize them for it. They missed on the evaluation.
You're not going to hit on every free agent.
But at least their heart's in the right place.
Yeah.
We had a need. We saw a big talent, so we paid big dollars and we went and got him. Okay, and you missed. That's one thing. And that's actually forgivable in my book. But now the other thing. So they bring back Devin McCourty largely because of the culture. It's a good point. How was the culture in the second half of last year?
It's terrible.
Terrible.
Fell off the face of the earth after Thanksgiving when you're supposed to be playing your best football. And apparently players were checked out.
Right. Players kind of quit.
Their bye week.
They kind of quit. They kind of checked out. So what was that culture worth?
And if the culture was so strong, why are you trading away Shaq Mason again?
And you bring back your special teams captain because what? Your special teams were so good last year? Oh, no, that's right. They were wretched. So,
I mentioned this yesterday. I'm sorry. I can't help wondering whether or not Bill brings these guys back, especially someone like Devin McCourty, who's one of the most forward-thinking, progressive players in the league, who has a lot of respect, especially from African-American players, that he brings these guys back because they're the buffer, because Bill continues to have the friendship with Trump. He's down at Mar-a-Lago. What was the last thing for?
Yeah, never mind. He's tied up in the Flores lawsuit.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm very cynical. But
If that's part of it, that's kind of smart by Bill.
It's smart business.
He can't lose his locker room. And if there's some, unrest, whatever word you want to use there, based on that sort of thing, and he wants to have guys in his locker room that maintain his good standing in there, I get it. That's fine. I think that's actually smart to do. Does it have to be for $9 million?
Seems high.
For an older safety who really doesn't make a lot of plays? And a special teams captain who's really past his prime on a special teams that sucked last year. It's what's the cost of that thing in the locker room? I think the cost is too high is, how I would sum that up. Tom in Northboro. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, guys. Let me connect the dots quick, so don't hang up on me. Bill takes players that normally probably wouldn't be drafted or draft really high from his friends. Follow the money. Is there a little kickback going on?
It's a great theory. You would hate to think that Bill, who makes $20 to $25 million a year, doesn't need kickbacks. But, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the first thing that happened. But, the school doesn't make any money from the player, right? But is that Bill? Does a coach call up an agent before the draft and say, we'll draft him in the second round, but I need part of that bonus money? That would be quite a scheme, huh?
Sure. That's like the theory of you see the books are all frustrated because apparently a bunch of big bets came in on Brady's return.
Yeah.
It's like maybe Brady's getting some kind of kickback there. Like all these theories that are floating around.
No, what I think it is, it's just favoritism and cronyism. It's what Bill's fallen into here late in his run. And it's always kind of been cronyism, but, you know, there was a time that these were qualified cronies. I mean, he came here and brought with him Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel, and that whole group of guys were old Parcells, Belichick guys, Al Groh. Like, that whole grouping was kind of a group, but they were all good.
Yeah, he did it on the field, too, with guys who could play.
And he did it with the former Jets / Parcells players, and he got that whole band back together, and maybe he just romanticizes that. He says, well,
this is how we used to do it.
This is how Parcells always did it. That's how I did it when I first got here, and that's how it is. And it's our guys are, you know, they're the smartest and they're the best, and they know what we want, and so we don't have to, you know, jump through hoops to sort of indoctrinate them. They know what we want. They're part of the Patriot way to begin with, and so that's what we're doing.
Well, Joe Judge and Matt Patricia are a no Weiss and Crennel, that's for damn sure.
He's definitely taken it too far, is just what I would say about that. He's taken it way too far, and it's, you know, permeated his the way they draft, the way he populates his coaching staff, and it's just left them at this spot where I feel like they're falling farther behind. It's just how it feels. It feels like they're losing ground on the field by the day here this offseason. So that portion of the program is now in the books. We will do the final word right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? Well, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. Let me give you one more.
Oh.
We're trying to piece together where all these effing Michigan guys, why all of a sudden did Bill start drafting these Michigan guys? Winovich, Owenu, Uche, Magrone.
Well, Harbaugh's not an acceptable answer, I found out.
It's not, and it wastes time that we just wasted another 10 seconds on it. God, we got 5 hours in the middle of the night? Like, yes, jibber-jabber all you want.
Mm-hmm.
Straight line, Jones. 2018, this individual was an offensive analyst. In 2019 and 2020, he was the quarterback's coach for the University of Michigan. Guess his name. His name is Ben McDaniels. Guess who he is.
Like a cousin of Josh?
Brother.
Oh.
It's all one big circle, Johnson. It's all one big circle session. It's all it is. It's how all these players and coaches are ending up here. It's one big crony circle.
A game of ookie cookie.
I mean, guess where Ben McDaniels also, before he went to Michigan, he's
Rutgers.
Rutgers!
Oh, really?
Amazing.
Wow.
He was a receivers coach at Rutgers in 2014, the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach in 2015. It's all one big freaking circle,
it is.
Josh.
Yeah.
This is why you haven't drafted. This is why your coaching staff sucks. This is why your roster is getting worse by the day.
Who needs tape when you got word of mouth?
Every little detail that you pull out is one's worse than the next. I'm sorry, Jones. Go ahead. Unless you're going to give some stupid joke from 2 hours ago.
No. That wasn't a tangent at all. So the Red Sox and Patriots,
that was functional information from what we're talking about today.
Yeah. No. I hear you. Neither the Red Sox nor the Patriots are doing anything. So we decided to do a little best of in the Wayback Machine. Greg Bedard saying the first month of the season does, in fact, not matter.
Can we care about week one and can we care about week four and can everyone try and win that game and it be important?
How about this? Can we have a mature discussion about this? Like, you're not going to boil this down to, I think you're going to keep saying throughout, as soon as I leave at 4 o'clock, for the next hour, you guys are going to rag on me and be like, well, Bedard says they could take the first week. Like, let's be mature. That's not what I'm talking about. So
later,
let's not boil it down to that. I'm talking about the way Bill Belichick looks at things, which is a slow boil.
Yeah, I don't think he's overly concerned. I think he thinks.
Then I go over to Mac.
Okay, we're doing that at 5, not 4. Okay.
Yeah, and well, I'm trying to head off the path because I know what happens.
Listen, I agree with you 100%. I've been saying from day one Cam Newton's going to start the year for that exact same reason. We are in total agreement.
Well, I heard from you.
Season opening starter is bullcrap, Felger. It's bullcrap, so that means it's artificial. It doesn't matter. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? If Mac Jones takes over the team in week 6 and goes 10-1, who cares who started the opening game?
What if they started 0-5? You know, like, I don't know. Those games don't matter. Those games don't matter. Those games matter.
Jones,
of course they matter.
Just stop. Just stop.
Just don't say it's like a fake deadline. It's the season. I mean,
the season opener. The crown of being the season opening quarterback is artificial. It doesn't matter. Like, yes, if they start 0-2, yeah, that's a problem. If they start 0-5, obviously, Jones.
Yeah, well, if they miss the playoffs.
Like, we're not idiots.
Well,
like, you think Bill's going to, if they go 0-2, you think Bill's going to just go with Cam and go 0-5? No, he's going to pull the cord. He's going to go with the kid. They've started 1-2 before.
Don't you agree he should go with the kid right now?
Absolutely.
So why isn't he? That sounds dumb. That sounds like he might do something dumb.
Because he's Bill Belichick.
When they're 0-2. That sounds dumb to me.
That's great, Jones.
I tell you that. Now we're back live. That was my favorite part of the email chain this morning. Bedard joins us a little late. His first line, first email. Oh, God, Jones is in? No one told me about this. Period, paragraph, end of email.
I didn't want him saying no.
This is great. No, right. Don't tell him.
Yeah.
Don't tell anyone when Jones is in. Just spring him on him.
Element of surprise.
Yeah, should have started Cam Newton week 1. I agree.
Don't want to drive away the audience.
I have a disturbing detail for you guys for tomorrow's show.
Oh?
You don't want to give it to us now?
No, I want to tease it for tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh.
It's going to upset everybody.
Stay tuned for 2 o'clock tomorrow where Jimmy Stewart is going to disturb you.
Long tease.
Okay. That right there. Go, put your head tonight on the pillow with visions of Jimmy Stewart having something that will disturb you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.